This is quite a privilege for me to be here with you because you guys have tremendous heart for God. I can see it in your faces, your manifestations, and your life. So I'm just pleased to death to be here with you. I'd like to start off by saying thank you to God and my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I come in His name. And I also like to thank you guys for inviting me to be a part of this and a part of your fellowship and to teach the greatest thing I know, which is God's Word. You know, and like that song, you know, that was just sung, we're not ordinary. We're actually more than conquerors, super conquerors. That's quite a thing to be. And, you know, in God's Word is where we learn about these things. In the Bible, in God's Word, we learn about principles and promises that are available to us. And another thing that is given to us in God's Word is encouragement. In times of trouble, when there's pressure on us, God's Word has the principles, the promises, and the encouragement to help us through each and every day, and each and every opportunity and problem that comes our way. We treat life a little different than the rest of the world. When we get these opportunities and problems, we go to God's Word to learn how to get out of them. And this morning, I'd like to share a little encouragement that I learned from the Scriptures, and I'd like you to go to 1 Samuel, chapter 17, 1 Samuel, chapter 17, and we're going to see a big problem that David came across. One of the things in the encouragement in God's Word that I'd like to point out is we're going to learn about, as you read God's Word, real people in real situations and how God got them out of these situations. And we're going to look at one of those records this morning. But it's really comforting for us to see real people in real situations and how they got out of them. And in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, in verse 1, it says, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together. And in verse 2, it says, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Lehah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley in between. And I'm sure you can picture that. Two high points, a valley in between, an army on each side. And verse 4 says, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And a cubit is from this, the tip of your tallest finger to your elbow. Some people have estimated that he was 9.5 feet tall. He was a big man. Very big man. Verse 5, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels. I don't know how much that is today, but it sounds heavy. Shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of the spear weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. He actually had another person who carried the shield in front of him. Almost looks like two against one. And he stood and he cried unto the armies of Israel, and he said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye the servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. And if I prevail against him and kill him, then ye shall be our servants. And the Philistines said, I defile the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly feared. Fear actually was seizing these people's hearts and lives, because a problem came upon them, a very big problem, and they didn't know how to handle it. And I find it interesting in verse 11, it says, and when Saul, who was the king. Now, the children of Israel wanted a king. They wanted someone to come fight their battles. And Saul became their king. And he was head and shoulders above all the people. He was their man to fight their battles for them. But Saul, says it says here, was dismayed and greatly feared. You know, have you ever seen in the Bible where it says the Lord will bear his arms? What that means is the robes that the king would have, he would pull them back so his arms were free to fight. It was a figure of speech that they knew about. And when they heard the Lord will bear his arms, it meant the Lord will fight for you. Saul was the man that they wanted to fight their battles for them. And this Philistine was asking, hey, who's the man? Come on, who's the man? And Saul should have and could have said, I'm the man. But he was greatly dismayed and in fear. Now, David was the son of the Ephraimite of Benjamin Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old age in the days of Saul. All that's saying is that Jesse was an old man at the time that Saul was around. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle, and the name of the 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next unto him, Abinadab, and the 3rd was Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep in Benjamin. So he was taking care of the sheep back home. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. For 40 days, he is standing up in front of the army of Israel and saying, I defy you. Choose you a man. Come on, let's get this going. Let's do this thing. And for 40 days, Israel just watched him, not knowing what to do and being full of fear. And in verse 17, it says, Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren. I get a kick out of this. He didn't tell him to stroll over. He says, run to your brothers. Run to them. Run to the camp and to thy brothers, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Leah fighting with the Philistines. And David arose up early. And when I see this, David rose up early, it shows me that he wasn't a slacker, but he was a leader and worker. He got up early to do his job, which is what his father asked him to do. He got up. See, when you read God's word, you got to look for the lessons that are there for us to learn so that we can utilize them in our lives. And here's the lesson that you're a worker. You get up and you do your job. And David rose up early in the morning. He left the sheep with the keeper, and he took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench, and as the host was going forth to battle and shouted for the battle, for Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. They were army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and he ran unto the army, and he came and he saluted his brethren. How you doing, bros? And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and he spake according to the same words, and David heard it. So this is the first time that David heard the words of Goliath. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, for they were sore afraid. When I read these records, I think of, well, what kind of problems have I been in? What kind of opportunities have I had in my life? You know, were they any bigger than what David and Goliath had here? Well, it doesn't matter if they, how big they were. God can always take care of them. But here's a lesson that can teach us how to stand against the adversary, against people that are threatening us and trying to put fear into our lives. When people are able to put fear into our lives, it slows us down. It stops us from being the men and women that we can be for God. Because you know what? We are not ordinary anymore. We are super conquerors, and we can tap into the more abundant life that Jesus Christ came to make available every day. But here we are in this situation. Let's continue reading in verse 25. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that cometh up? Surely to defile Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man whom killed him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his house free in Israel." That must mean, you know, no taxes. But but look at all he's going to give him, you know. Free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defile the armies of the living God?" This is the first time that God's even mentioned. This is the first time that someone's thinking, well, what about God? What can God do? And David's saying, who is this uncircumcised Philistines? Today we would say something probably more colorful. Like, who's this blankety blank so-and-so that's defying God? You know, who is this guy that can defile the armies of the living God? David was the first one that in this whole thing for 40 days that introduces God to the opportunity or the problem. And this can and does happen to people all the time when they have problems, opportunities in their lives, and they start thinking about the problem. How can we fix it? What's the five senses thing to do? But us who have Holy Spirit in us have a different way of looking at things. We start off by thinking, okay, God, what can be done? And we pray and we ask God for help. That's how we start off with an opportunity, a problem that is different than the world does. They just go, ah! We go, what's the answer? What is God going to come up with? What is God going to do? Just an amazing piece of work here. I want you to keep your finger here, and I want to go to I want to go a chapter back to chapter 16, and I want to look at what made David different. What made David different than anyone else from, I mean, they grew up in the same neighborhoods, right? They're all there from Bethlehem. And I want to start in verse 4 and just read this. And it says in verse 4, and Samuel did that which the Lord spake. And what Samuel's doing, he's going to anoint the next king. You know? So Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and he came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? See, when a man of God comes, you're not always sure if he's coming to reprove you or pat you on the back, you know? So they go, hey, are you coming peaceably? He says, yeah, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and he called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for the man looketh on the outward appearance. And isn't that what we do? We look at the outward appearance so much, you know. Is he or she look the part? But the Lord looketh on the heart. The Lord looketh on the heart. See, to do things great for God, you got to have a heart for God. And David must have had a heart for God. We'll continue reading. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Samuela to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, and the Lord said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. None of these of his brothers did he choose. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet one. He's the youngest. He's just a little guy. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down until he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was a ruddy, and withal a beautiful countenance, and look and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and he went back to Ramah. But see, what made David the man he was? He had a heart for God. Number one, he wanted to know God. He loved God. They were all brought up with the same family, the same teachings, the same word of God. But David really wanted to know. And it says that he had a heart for God. This morning, before a lot of you came here, we had a prayer here. And one of the things they prayed with that prayer was that you guys would all come in with a good heart for God. I thought that was very interesting and very nice. And I can tell that you all came in with a good heart for God, which is what we want and need. We love it. That's what God wants, because he looks on your heart. Doesn't look on your countenance, how tall, how fast you are. Do you want to know God? Do you love God? That's the only thing he wants to know. Pretty neat. But what, there was one other thing that David got here. You know what that was? Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Is the Spirit of God in anyone in this room? All of us, right? We got Holy Spirit. If we don't have it, we can get it, right? We know how to teach each other how to get that Holy Spirit so we can have that connection with God. When you got a heart for God and you got the Spirit of God on you,
wow,
you are our power source. And there is no Goliath that can bother us. We are bigger and better than that because it is God in Christ in us. You know, and as we read these records give us encouragement, especially when it's whatever the problem is big and ugly and bothers us. And we go, oh, what are we going to do? Well, the first thing to do is ask God for help and maybe read some scripture that'll help us stand. Well, let's go back to where we were, which was in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 26. And I want to reiterate that last phrase there. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this colorful language guy? You know, who is this jerk that can bother us? You know what I mean? That he should defile the armies of the living God. David said, God is going to make us more than conquerors. God is going to win. He's nothing compared to God. He's the first one that introduces God into this whole thing, right? In our lives, we got to be the first ones to introduce God into this, to the situations. And the people answered him after the manner, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth him? You know, they were wondering who's going to get the daughter and the free taxes. You know, David was concerned about more than just that. And listen to this. Look at this verse here, 28. And Eliab, the eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab was angered. He was teed off. I got to share a little bit about anger, just a little bit about it. It says in God's word to be ye angry and sin not. So it's available to be angry without sinning. Matter of fact, all the emotions that we have in life, God gave us. But we have to put all our emotions, all our feelings, all our thinking to line up with God's word. That's how you can be angry and sin not. Neuroscientists say that in the human body, at certain times, we can get adrenaline in our bodies. And what that does is it makes us either fight or flight. You know what I mean? And it was designed by God as a self-preservation thing, you know, to preserve mankind. You can see in God's word where people with Holy Spirit were tremendous fighters, like Jonathan and his armor bearer. You can see at times when people needed to get out of there and God worked with them and they, boom, ran and got out of the situation. But here is Eliab, and he was angry. What was his problem? Well, his problem was that his self-worth was being challenged by his little brother, the little runt. You see what I mean? Was telling the men, hey, we can stand for God. We can do something. And so this is what he says after he gets angry. He doesn't control his mind. Instead, he says these things against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Belittling his job. I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. He's saying, you're just a little punk and you're just here to watch what's going on. You ever heard a big brother do that? You know? I never have. But watch what David does. This is the, I think, the great thing. And David says, what have I done? What have I done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason for someone to believe God? Why should we sit around here for 40 days being afraid of this guy? That's what he's saying. Isn't there a cause? Let's get God involved. And the lesson for us is, no matter how big the problem is, we can get God involved. No matter how big the problem is, we can get God involved. We say, God, we need help. Amen. We need help. We need God. And you know what? Everybody needs God. That's right. And so we're going to continue reading and see what David does. Well, I can tell you one thing he doesn't do. He doesn't listen to his big brother. He just keeps moving for God. With the Holy Spirit upon him and what he knew for God, because he had a heart for God. And he turned from him to another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, hey, king, let no man's heart fail thee because of him. Thy servant, I'll do it. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. I'll do it. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. You're just a little dude. And he said, he is a man of war from his youth. This Goliath was a fighting man. Obviously, Saul forgot about God too, right? And David spake unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and they took the lamb out of the flock, and I went after him, and I smoked him, and I delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard, and I smoked him and slew him. And thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this colorful, circumcised guy, the Philistine, you know, will be just like one of them. Seeing that he defiles, what did he say? The armies of the living God. You don't mess with God and you don't mess with God's people. And David said, moreover, the Lord that, okay, I already read that. No, I'll say it again. Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the power of the lion and out of the power of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. See, Saul at least saw that David believed God. And sometimes that's all you need is for someone to get out of your way. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put up brass, helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proven it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proven them. And David put them off him. We have to go, and we're in tough situations, opportunities, problems. We have to go what we have been proven to work for us, which is trusting and believing God. We prove the word. The word tells us to prove the word. Prove the principles of God's word and see if they work. See if you can outgive God. Things like that. We prove the word. And David said, I haven't proved this, but I know who God is. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in his shepherd bag which he had even in a scrip, and a sling was in his hand, and he drew nigh to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the men that bared the shield before him, two against one. It's amazing. And the Philistine, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he was disdained, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Goliath didn't back down, did he? He even got more vehement, more upset, more, you know, really, he became even more, but that didn't change David's heart. David didn't go, well, maybe I went a little too far. he didn't do that. He stood firm on the word. I just love this because you know what? The enemy never backs down. They never back, it won't back down until the end. They stay to the end, but at the end, they lose. Let me show you. You know, verse 44, and the Philistine said, he just keeps putting his ugly voice in there. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And when David, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, which another guy's holding. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the Israel, the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. He didn't back down one bit, did he? No matter how much Goliath tries to put him into fear. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. Why, that all the earth may know that there's a God in heaven. When you stand for God, you know what? And people see that, you know what they're going to say? Yes, there is a God in heaven, because I've seen this guy believe God and overcome. Because we're, you know, we are, we're overcomers. We overcome whatever comes after us when we have a heart for God and we tap into the power of the resources of God, the Holy Spirit, which David had. Pretty neat. Okay, verse 46, it says, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thy head off thee. I already read that, didn't I? And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord's saveth not with a sword or the spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hands. He was just letting them know, hey, you chose the wrong one. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose, and he came, and he drew near to meet David, that David haste and ran towards the army to meet the Philistines. And David put his hand in his bag, and he took hence a stone, and he slung it, and he smote the Philistine in the forehead, and that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell upon the earth to his face. To his face to the earth. The stone hit him right here. He had all this armor on him. He looked like a Chevy with arms. And the stone hit him right in the forehead in a place where the helmet didn't hit. And he fell. He was fit from his face to the ground, pointing out or demonstrating that God did it. Because if I hit you in the forehead, you'll fall back. He fell forward, demonstrating that God did it. Wow. pretty neat. Verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and he smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in David's hand. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and he drew his sword, took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and he slew him and cut off the head therewith. And the Philistines, and when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they got out of there. They fled. They said, let's go. I thought they were going to serve Israel. But anyhow, I guess they forgot that part of the deal. But and the men of Israel and of Judah rose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou comest to the valley and to the gate of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way. And that's all we need to read of this record to get all that God has there for us and the encouragement that is there for us. So no matter how big or how bad the situations we might find ourselves in, God is always bigger than that. And the lessons that we can see here about David, and God looked upon his heart, and he had a heart for God, and he had Holy Spirit upon him, and we have Holy Spirit in us, that there is nothing that can stop us from being more than conquerors and to live that more than abundant life. That's the lesson, and there's probably tons of lessons in almost anything you could read that we could learn and tap into as we just read the Word of God and let that Word of God speak for us. This Word of God is so precious to us, full of principles, promises, and encouragement. So thank you very much for listening to me. And well, dear God, just want to pray to God that God, thank you for taking care of us and showing us the way and showing us your word, God, so that we can be more than conquerors and live that more than abundant life. And may God bless you all abundantly.